Welcome to episode 11 of Slice Your Age in Half, the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. I am Dr. David Matto, and it's great to be back at the mic. Great to be back in my studio here on a snowy day in the Baltimore area. We got actually a bunch of snow within the past day or two, and just sitting here in a nice heated studio talking to you. And great to have you here today. As a matter of fact, to show my appreciation to all of my listeners, I am going to give you a copy of my book, Impress the World with Your Body in 7 Days. Great way to kind of get in the mode for the holidays and for the new year to get back in the best shape of your lives. And Impress the World with Your Body in 7 Days can certainly do it for you. I'll tell you how to get a free copy. It's going to be the Kindle edition. It's going to be the electronic Kindle edition. And all you have to do is go to Amazon. Go to Amazon.com, type in Impress the World with Your Body. It will come up as my book. There'll be a hard copy book and a Kindle version. You get the Kindle version for free for being my listener. I've set it to a special price of zero, a special price of free for my listeners. So get on there, get your copy. And actually, if you want to kind of tell your friends about it, I want to get the word out for the new year. I want you to be healthier. I want you to be happier. And not only will my podcast here, Slice Your Age in Half, we can do it here, but my book will help you as well. So go do that. I've got a great show for you today. You're going to find out because, again, my goal is to get you really healthy in time for the next year, in time for 2014, because I know many of you have this resolution that you want to be, you're kind of psyched, you've been listening to all, this is your 11th episode of Slice Your Age in Half, you're ready to get in the best shape of your lives, and we are going to do it today, and that is a promise. Before I introduce my guest that's sitting right here with me today, I just want to make sure if you have any question, if you want to get in touch with me for any reason whatsoever, I want to make sure you know how to do it. And the best way to do it is simply to go to davidmaddow.com. That's davidmaddow.com. And on the website there, not only can you listen to all the podcasts, you can read my blog, but you can get in touch with me. There's a way to do it right there. You can do it through the website. Or if you simply want to send me an email, if you're just not a website person, you just want to go to email, send me an email at rundrdave@gmail.com. Rundrdave is R-U-N-D-R-D-A-V-E, R-U-N-D-R-D-A-V-E at gmail.com. You reach me that way. And also it's simple. It's absolutely simple to get me on Facebook simply by finding me, David Matto. That's the best way to do it. So I've got Larry in the studio today, and Larry and I actually, we go way back. First of all, how you doing, Larry?
Dave, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Great to have you here. And we kind of go way back. We've got a history, and it's funny. I've wanted, ever since I started this podcast, I've wanted to get you on the show because over the years, we've just kind of done so many, I guess, fitness things together and shared so many stories about health that I know you can help our listeners. And I think the two of us together have some really pretty cool things to share. So before we really get into it, Larry, first of all, welcome. And
thank
it's fantastic to have you. And let's hear a little bit about you. I think my listeners know me fairly well. But first of all, how old are you?
I am 58 for just one more month.
That old, huh?
Yes.
And you just like I did, you actually became a grandparent, a grandfather, maybe a month or two or 3 months before I did.
Not even that much. It's been 5 weeks since I had my first grandchild, little granddaughter. Her name is Shira Bailey.
Well, congratulations. So basically, we have two old men here trying to tell people how to live healthier and get in better shape. And I urge you not to press the stop button because these two old men here are have kind of figured out the way to live your healthiest life ever. And we're going to give you some tips and tell you some things that you can do to make your 2014 perhaps your best year ever. I guarantee it. Larry, I know you're Your big thing is biking. Is that right? Is that your main exercise, would you say? Or if I'm wrong, totally correct me.
No, you got that right. That definitely is my main exercise. Though when it gets cold like this in the winter that we're experiencing now, I do like to do some hiking on the weekends. Nothing major or anything, but I don't like to bike in this cold weather, though.
Well, I'm looking at the thermometer right now. It looks like it's about 18 degrees outside and very icy, so I can understand why you don't like to bike outside. But you've been biking for how long now?
I've probably been biking, I got to be honest with you, since high school days, actually. Maybe not the extent I'm doing now, but, even back in college days, took a long ride to Ocean City, Maryland from our home in Baltimore. Which is a good 130 miles away.
Oh, a little 130-mile bike ride, huh? I'm looking at you. You're, okay, 58. How tall are you about?
5'9".
5'9", and you weigh?
Like 165.
165, 5'9", 58 years old. I'd say that sounds like incredibly ideal to me. I mean, I'm looking at you. You look like you're in fantastic shape, and you're not heavy. You're built just right. So, most 58-year-old people would, let's face it, they've got guts. They don't feel strong. They're tired a lot. So, kudos to you already for doing that. What do you do for a living? I know what you do, but I want my guests to know, my listeners to know what you do.
I'm a CPA.
CPA, Certified Public Accountant. Now, you guys, you have, like, crazy hours because is there a time? First of all, I know, like, during tax season, which is probably what I'm guessing February, March, and April, where, like, you've got the heaviest work you're doing 3 months there.
Exactly. Even before February. Starts a little before that. But it's a pretty intense 3 months.
So for the first part of the year, which is going to be starting soon, up through, like, tax day, which April 15th or 16th or 17th, whatever, wherever it falls, you're incredibly busy. But are accountants busy all year round, or do you like take vacation the other 9 months? What do you do?
I wish we did, but it's not quite that easy. Right now, again, we're in middle of December. I'm pretty darn busy doing a lot of year-end tax planning for my clients to kind of lead them into next year. So it's kind of a pre-tax season to the tax season. Not as busy as I will be during the beginning of next year, but it's pretty busy. And then I have during the middle of the year, it's a little busy. The rest of the year it's definitely not as intense as it is these other few months.
So like during tax season, the heaviest, busiest time of the year for you, which is maybe mid-January or February through April, you're working like 24/7, like really long hours.
Right? Pretty much, yeah.
But you've been an avid bicyclist, and you go to the gym and things like that since you've been in high school, and it shows because you're looking great. But during this tax season, when you're working these incredibly long hours, do you give up the exercise for 3 months? What do you do?
No, I do continue to work out. I may not get in as many days as I normally would during the rest of the year, but I try to get to the gym at least 3 times a week, if not 4. And again, I'll go hiking on the weekends. Maybe the one of the days on the weekend when I'll do that. I don't like to miss it because I really feel it energizes me, gets me ready for the day, and keeps me in good shape. You really need to be, it's almost like running a marathon. You really need to be in good physical shape to make it through this period. You really, by the time April 15th rolls around, you start to wear down. And you really, physically, you really feel it. And, by working out, it really does help.
So you've got a grueling work schedule, but in order to keep yourself energized with the work, exercise is the thing that does that. 3 or 4+ times per week sounds incredibly great while you're working so hard. That's really cool. Good stuff.
And if I didn't, I know I'd feel worse if I didn't work out as opposed to working out and then going in and working long hours.
I totally agree. I mean, I do the same thing. The tougher I work, I've got to throw workouts in there, whether it's going outside just for a walk or a run or, even just if I'm traveling in my hotel room doing some yoga, stretching, push-ups, crunches, things like that, that's what keeps me going through life, through life, not just to get me through some hard work days, but that's the way I've been doing this. Similar to you, I maybe high school, definitely college, started doing it strong. And I'm the same age as you are, and we both are, I think, in the same kind of shape, and we just don't let up. It's a lifestyle for us.
I totally agree. I think it just clears your head. You need to break up the monotony of working. There's got to be something else too that you can focus on. It kind of clears your head to go back and do your work at a much higher level, I think.
You were telling me, I think, earlier there's something on some kind of poster on your wall or something in your office that you look at every day to keep you motivated. What is that?
Well, I do when I'm in tax season. And I don't remember the specifics of it because it's not tax season right now, but it was written by a CPA who's an avid biker, much, much more so than I am, who, just given some lessons. He was on this incredibly grueling bike ride in Italy. And making an analogy to tax season and how to get through it as you would this bike ride, which was like a 1,000-mile bike ride in 3 days or something ridiculous through the whole night.
That's ridiculous.
Through the whole night and everything else and how to make it through that to help yourself also get through, through a tax season. And I do look at it. It's been up there 3 or 4 years at this point in time, and I just leave it up there. I just find it very motivating.
That's why, so like a motivating poster on your wall in your office, even though it's been there 3 or 4 years, it still continues to motivate you through tax season. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Very cool. You know, and also, Larry, I've had so many listeners write into me or get in touch with me on Facebook with questions such as, here's a typical one. Like, I'm a single mom. I'm working long hours. When I get home, I'm with my kids. I do not have any time. I want to get started on some kind of program. I want to work out. But let's face it, between work and my kids at home, I have no time to do anything. How do you answer that? What would you say? Because I know how I've answered it in the past. I want to see if your opinion is the same as mine.
You know, again, this is the first time the question has been posed to me. But I guess I would say, you've got to find the time to do it. And if you're married, maybe ask your husband to watch the kids a little bit if he can help out. So maybe it's just a matter of getting an exercise bike in the house so you don't even have to go outside. Or, after dinner, if your husband, again, can just keep an eye on the kids. I don't know how young they might be. To go out and just take a walk and, clear your mind out a little bit and get some physical activity in. I'm not sure. What do you advise?
It's funny. I've said very similar. You're a biker. I'm more of a runner. It's funny. But I said almost an identical thing. I said, get a treadmill. And you don't have to spend $3,000 on a treadmill. You go on Craigslist. Actually, the best time to buy a treadmill is probably, when?
Well, probably we're coming up after the summer.
Coming up to New Year's. People are buying treadmills like crazy for the New Year's resolutions. But unfortunately, fortunately for you, but unfortunately, many people after about a month are going to use them to hang their clothes on because their resolutions are going to be out the window. Not my listeners, but a lot of people. So there are going to be so many used treadmills on Craigslist in February, March, and April. It's going to be amazing. So I think you pick up a great deal on a used treadmill on Craigslist. I said basically similar. Put a treadmill in a room with a TV, have some toys for your kid. You get on the treadmill, mom, who's finding no time to exercise, and let your kid play in the room, do their homework or whatever while you're on the treadmill, and you get your workout done while you're watching your kids. Because you got to do it. Saying there's no time to do it, it's an excuse because your body is not going to take that as an excuse. Your body needs the exercise.
I agree. And again, everybody's individual. I like to get up early in the morning before I go to work out. Some people say, how can you do that? But I'm more awake then. I feel stronger then. Once I've worked the whole day, the last thing I feel like doing for myself is going to work out. That's just my personal preference. And everybody's different. So I think whatever works, for you is what you need to do. But do something.
I was telling my listeners a week. I don't even know if I told you this or not, but a week, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I did a marathon on the NCR Trail, the NCR Trail Marathon. Full 26.2 mile marathon. And so I don't know if you remember the Saturday after Thanksgiving right here in the Baltimore area, but in the Reisterstown area, I should say. But I got up at 4 a.m. and looked at my thermometer on the wall right there. It was 18 degrees outside. And you know how easy it would have been? I was saying to myself, hey, I'm just going back to bed. forget this. This is a ridiculous thing to do a marathon in 18-degree weather. But, you know, I got up, got dressed, layered, went to the starting line, and finished the marathon. And I am so happy I did it, because it would have been so easy to say, I'm going back to bed, you know, screw this whole thing. But I did it. And I wanted to ask you, have you ever, it's so easy to make an excuse and say, well, I'm not going to do a workout today. And then you skip it. But have you ever pushed yourself to do a workout and at the end of the workout said to yourself, you know, I'm really sorry I did that workout today. Has that ever happened?
No, that has never happened. That's never happened. And again, just to kind of say, I take a spinning class on typically on Monday morning.
You do spinning?
Yeah.
That's tough.
I do spinning.
Spinning is not easy. Let me tell you something.
And the instructor is she's tough. It's a she
oh, the
is
women
one
can be, the women can
tough.
Be tough.
Anyway, but she says,
yeah,
you know,
they can be tough as hell.
She says the same thing. You're not going to regret. You're there. You're not going to regret it when you're done. And
what time does that class start in the morning? Like 4 a.m.
It starts at 6 a.m.
6 a.m. You're down. You're spinning.
Yeah, I'm spinning at 6.
And how long is an hour class?
She does a high intensity workout. It's over in 40 minutes, and it's every bit of a high intensity workout for 40
minutes. You're probably dripping sweat.
I'm soaking, sopping wet. Yeah, I am.
Do you keep up with her?
Yeah, as far as
the instructors are,
well, you keep up.
So damn good.
You do what you do, and you follow the lead, and you know.
Wow.
My thing is to just get the exercise. I think I keep up with her. I'm not worried about keeping up with the person next to me or in front of me.
Right,
I'm not focused on them. I'm focused on myself. And
that's the exact advice I give my listeners too. Because, like, you know, I'm a runner, but I'm a slow runner, and I don't care. I care a little bit if I come in last place in a marathon, but the person that comes in last is still a marathon runner and a finisher and a winner as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, I never try to compete with the person next to me running or anything. It sounds like the same with you.
Yeah, it's at this point. It's not about the competition.
It's lifestyle.
It's not, yeah, it's not
lifestyle.
A competition at this point. I'm not in that, you know, kind of world. It's just to get the work done and, you know, do it and feel good about it.
Was there ever a time in recent years that you, due to some type of injury or something, you had to lay off exercise for like an extended period of time?
Yes, there was. You probably remember, been a little over 2 years now. I had to have some neck surgery done, have a couple of discs replaced.
Has that been 2 years?
It's a little over 2 years.
2 years? That seems like it was 8 months ago.
It was, well,
2 years
it's
ago.
Been 2 years.
So you had some neck surgery.
Some neck surgery. You know, plate was put in, replaced a couple of discs, so I couldn't work out for...
How long?
From the surgery, it was a good... I got to, after a few, couple months, I get to, you know, I could ride the bike, but I couldn't lift weights or anything. And even when I started back on the weights, the most I could lift was 20 pounds on the machines. I'm not doing free weights, but, you know, on the machines was 20 pounds. And... I am up to or more than I was doing before I had the surgery done.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of had to lay back a little before the surgery because I was having some symptoms from the neck problem I was having. But I'm back to where
made
I
a comeback.
Was.
Big comeback. If not better. Like, come back better than you were. Wow.
Good as new.
But how did it feel? How long did you have to actually take off the exercise, like not do it at all?
God, it had to be at least 3 months, at least.
Because
I couldn't even drive or anything.
How'd you feel then? How'd you feel? A lifelong exerciser, not being able to exercise for 3 months. Did you get upset, depressed? What were your feelings like?
Here's how my thought process was, because I had to wear a collar for like 3 months during this time. My feeling was, hey, it's 3 months out of my whole life. That's how I looked at it, and. I didn't get super depressed. I was, you know, anxious to get back to working out, and I was looking forward to it. But I never got depressed. I really just looked at it in that way. That it's just a short little time span of, you know, the rest of my life
because you've been working out for 40 plus years, I'm guessing. So
it's getting 40, close to it. I don't know if it's quite that much. But I really started...
35 to 40?
When I was in, when I was in the Air Force, and back in the early 80s.
Right.
That's when I really started working out. So it's a little over 30 years now.
So let me ask you, it was in the Air Force. What gave you the bug or the idea to start working out? Because up until then, you really weren't much of a workout guy. But there's some point, something happened in your life that you said, I'm going to start working out.
What was it?
You want to know the real story?
I want to know.
Real story was,
I don't know the answer.
Here's the answer. They were sitting there watching the New York City Marathon back in the early 80s, and I saw a person who was really, really overweight running that marathon, and I said, you know what? If that person can do it, I can do this too. I weighed a whole lot more than I weigh now. Not a whole lot more, but I did weigh more than I weigh now. And that just kind of motivated me to do it. And at that point, I started running. I was more into running. I was biking also, but I was running a lot at the time too. And, I just started really running, shed a lot of pounds. And I was really doing some decent fast runs and stuff like that at the time. And, you know, when we came back from out of the Air Force, we did the marathon. The
you and I, marathon right. you and I ran the Marine Corps Marathon together. Don't tell me the year. I think it was. It was either. It was 82 or 83.
It was 80. It was 1983. We did the Marine Corps Marathon together, and I, in fact, did it the next year. Also, you weren't able to make it that
year. Registered, but I couldn't make it for some reason. But I registered.
Exactly.
I think I even got my T-shirt, but I couldn't make it. But we ran together. Now I can't remember. I remember I finished. Kind of like limped in and finished because I did cross the finish line. But I think you did a lot better than I did. You finished way before I did. I don't remember.
I did a little, under 4 hours. But I also limped into the finish line. I can't say I came across strong, but I did finish. I did a pretty decent time and did a little. I improved on it the next year even.
Beautiful.
But at that point, unlike you, I know you've continued to run lots and lots of marathons.
Well, the funny thing is, after Marine Corps, I did it. I came back and ran it. I'm thinking it was around 90 or 91. I ran it once then, and then didn't run another marathon. I kept running. I've been running since the late 70s, but didn't run another marathon until I started again with Chicago in 2009. And then since 2009, I try to run. These days, I'm trying to run two or three a year, which I just love. They're not easy, but I tell my listeners this all the time. I'm not fast, but I don't do it to win any records because I'm not going to be beating the Kenyans at all. I'm not going to be close. I'm not going to be beating probably my next door neighbor, but I'm going to be finishing a marathon, and that's what keeps me feeling fantastic, like every day of the year. I don't run a marathon every day of the year, but I try to do something to stay in shape almost every day. And that's what's keeping me going. So very interesting parallel story. I mean, you start off as a runner, more of a runner, but you've really morphed into much more biking. Mm-hmm. I've stuck with the running. Now, the funny thing is I did a lot of biking for a while. And you and I have some great biking history. And yes. Once a year, we used to take these two- or three-day biking, mainly two-day biking trips to somewhere about, if I can remember right, about 60 or 70 miles away, 60 to 80 miles away maybe. We'd stay in a hotel or somewhere then, bike back, which was really, really cool. You stuck with it. You actually recently, and I want to get into this in a few minutes, you recently took a three-mile would be nothing to brag about, a three-day bike trip. Along the CNO Canal towpath, which I want to talk to you about in a few minutes. But I was going to ask you a question, actually. And we're talking about the marathon and the biking. Now, wow, I totally spaced on that question. I don't remember what it was, but
it'll come back.
It was something to do with you biking and I'm running. What was it? I can't remember. Wow. Okay. Well, whatever. I can't remember. It will come back to me, I promise. Maybe becoming a grandfather, you start to lose a little bit of your memory. Do you? You've been a grandfather a few weeks longer than I have.
I can't remember how long. I think I was a grandfather.
So let's since I forgot my question I was going to ask you, let's talk about your recent trip. First of all, it was a bike trip. How many miles was it?
It ended up being 100. It's like 180 miles long.
180 miles long. 58-year-old guy, an accountant who's working like crazy, going on a 3-day bike trip. Let me rate this. 100. I'm going to make sure I get this right. 100. How many miles?
180 miles.
180 miles. Now this is a long. Well, tell me where it was.
Okay, so it went on the CNO Canal path, and just I guess to back up a little bit, I just want to let you know, our listeners, your listeners know, actually.
There are listeners. Hey, they're your listeners today, too. In fact, I'll tell you something. You're doing such a great job. I think you're going to be like a regular one because I think you've got a lot to teach. But there are listeners.
But anyway, you and I, you know, Dave and I attempted to do this bike ride. Probably, it might have gone back, I'm going to say 10 years ago.
That's about right. That's actually
not
about
quite
right.
That long
That's
ago.
About right.
And due to some equipment malfunctions on my part and some other issues that came up, we weren't able to do it. The weather didn't cooperate so much in any way, shape, or form. And we just weren't able to complete the ride in its entirety. And I just think it's just been a bug in my in my head all these years that...
For 10 years now.
Wanted to do it. I wanted to do it. And I'm not getting any younger. And even though I am staying in great shape, I want to, take this opportunity to do it at this point in time. And I said, look, I'm going to go back and do it. I just as a little aside, I was taking a ride with my daughter on the path, just a shorter ride from Harper's Ferry. Which
describe this path, because if you're not on the East Coast or around the D.C. area, you may not even know this path. But it's a beautiful path.
It is a beautiful path, and it goes from the C&O Canal path, follows the C&O Canal, which was basically parallels more or less the Potomac River, was a major thing for trade and all like that way back. I think it was, the canal itself was made back in George Washington's time or started then or something like that. So it goes by pretty long, and they would tow different goods and stuff along the canal path to get from Western Maryland down to Washington, D.C., and then down to to the Potomac River in Virginia and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the way it worked is that there's like we got the canal, and then the path was what the was it like mules?
I guess it was mules that would pull the barges along.
Pull the barges, a really cool system.
And they have locks and stuff like that. And for the most part, it does parallel the Potomac River. And there's certain areas where the river kind of wanders off a little bit, and there's some tunnels and stuff like that they had to build to keep the canal path from kind of meandering like that so much. So and the trail itself is in its best. There's some areas that are actually paved along the trail, which is great. The rest of it is pretty much packed. I don't even say it's packed so much. It's a little rocky. It's some tree roots in some areas.
I remember that.
And trail riding, again, it's not mountain biking where you're up and down hills and stuff like that, but it definitely is more tiring and harder on you than just riding on a paved, road or path or whatever.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. It's much, much more difficult to do. And, again, I was doing it with my daughter, taking a little ride this summer, and we saw a lady. We were stopped at this little rest area and saw this lady who I just struck up a conversation with, who was by herself. And that really put the bug in me when she told me she was doing it by herself.
She was going the whole way?
She was doing the whole way.
How old was she about?
She was probably, I didn't ask her age, but she was probably our age.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit younger, but
she
was the same.
Grandmother. She might have been a grandmother, right?
Possibly. She could have been a great-grandmother for all I know.
Well, you never know. It's possible.
But anyway, she said she was doing it by herself. She was starting in Washington going the other way, actually, which is even a little more challenging because it's a little more of an upslope going
sure
that
is.
Direction.
Yeah, definitely.
But then I was like, you know what? Again, if she can do it, I can do it. I'm ready. It's time for me to do it. And, I made the plans to do it. Had my dad graciously drive me all the way out to Cumberland, Maryland.
Cumberland, Maryland is like the westernmost point of this where you started.
Exactly.
So your dad drove you, your bike, just dropped you off.
He stayed overnight with me. So we stayed at a motel, which is right by the trail. We had dinner and did that. And then the next morning, they had a breakfast at the hotel. And,
got at some point where you just said goodbye to your dad. He drove away, and you were only with your bike.
It was me, my bike, and my stuff.
Yeah.
That was it. And there wasn't many people. And that was about it for the, until I got down near Washington,
How much stuff did you carry? Like, how heavy were your, was it some type of, what do you call them? Pannier?
Yeah, my pannier. My sides bags.
Side bags.
I tried to travel as light as I possibly could. I really took what I felt was pretty much the bare minimum. Though I think one thing I took, which I guess in hindsight I didn't need to take, but I'm glad I had it, was a folding tire, just in case I got a tire that needed to be replaced.
It kind of folds up in the real small area,
but it was heavy. They're heavy.
But you weren't camping, so you didn't have to bring camping gear. You were staying in. Did you have like reservations along the trail to like go to a motel or something at each spot?
It was two nights that I did. I stayed at a bed and breakfast each night, and it kind of the trail from there. To do it in 3 days really breaks down real nicely into 60-mile segments.
Mm-hmm.
So the first, like when you leave Cumberland, the next night you go to Hancock.
Okay.
It's about 60 miles away. And then from Hancock you go to Harper's Ferry, which is like another, maybe a couple miles over. It's around
just
60 miles away.
Let our listeners know, you started in Maryland. It's Maryland. Westernmost point? What's that city?
Cumberland,
Maryland. You go to Hancock, Maryland the first night.
Right.
Then the second night would be Harper's Ferry. That's West Virginia, but the only reason it's West Virginia is because you jump over the river over the river to get to West Virginia,
exactly.
And then you kind of come back to the trail. So, yeah, Harper's Ferry is a really cool town, just over the river from the Sino Canal Topaz. So that's so staying there is beautiful. I've been there with you.
Correct, and I tell you, and I just again to throw this in, that was probably the hardest part of the whole ride to get off the trail to get into Harper's Ferry, because again, if your listeners aren't familiar with it. To get over the river, you have to cross over this walk bridge.
You got to
climb up these steps with your bike.
With your bike, holding your bike.
To get to the walk bridge. Right. My bike, even though I tried to travel light, it's still heavy. I've ridden 60 miles. I'm tired.
Right.
The weather was starting to get crummy, too. That time was starting to get windy and rainy and stuff like that. Anyway, so once you get there, Harper's Ferry is kind of built on a bluff, and you get across. And to get to where I was staying, at least, it's one hell of a hill.
It is a hill. That hill is tough to walk up, let alone like carry a bike up, like walk a bike up the hill.
Well,
you didn't ride your bike up that hill, did you?
I did mine over. I did ride. That was
you
my
rode
thing.
Your bike
I
up that hill. That hill,
bike up the hill.
If I can remember, that hill looks like seems like it's a 45-degree angle.
And that was my thing. I just really said I'm going to make it up the hill. I made it up the hill, and it. Yeah, I didn't make it up fast. And I geared down my bike, but I made it up the hill riding wise, and it wasn't easy.
The last night you made it into the third day you made it into DC, Georgetown.
Correct.
DC, where is the beginning or end of the towpath.
That's correct.
And you got picked up there to go back home.
Correct. And I just want to say another thing.
Yeah,
during this ride, just to throw in, again, it gets back to Dave's thing, running his marathons, and he's not out there running it to win the prize or anything like that, or beat the fastest runner. His goal is to finish. And interestingly enough, that day when I left from Harper's Ferry to wrap up in Washington, as I was leaving Harper's Ferry, and then you got to go back down the hill, which is great. So you start off and you're drifting down the hill. This is great. Four much younger guys on road bikes, happened to pass me going down the hill, and they were getting on the trail also. And once we crossed over, back over the river, it was a little chilly in the morning, so I took off a windbreaker, and they had stopped, and they were got down off the walk thing about the same time as me. And they came over, and I was ready to go, and I said, look, you guys go ahead of me, because I know you're going to just blow by me, and I'm not going to, there are four of them, and there's one of me, and I have to go by me. So they went by me.
Sure.
Oh, maybe 14, 15 miles down the path to where I see these guys are stopped, and they blew a flat tire, which this was my equipment failure when I was with Dave several years ago. I had the wrong bike for the trail. And, I'm talking to them for a few minutes and got a little history from them. They were from Michigan and Cincinnati doing the trail. So they fixed up the tires. After I talked to them, I just went ahead. And can they pass me again a little bit? And I knew they would. I was wondering, when they're going to pass me again? They passed me again. Down the trail. Needless to say, a little further down, I'm maybe 35 miles into the ride. We're at there's this ferry that goes across into Virginia. It's a nice stop. They got a snack area
White's ferry?
There.
White's ferry.
Ferry.
Beautiful
exactly.
place. Remember that.
Yep, exactly. Who do I see? But the bikers, one of the guys popped a spoke. And now he can't ride at all.
Oh,
he ain't
man.
Fixing
no,
that.
No.
So I was talking to him again. They wanted to know if... I know if any bike shops were nearby, and I had a Sino Canal app actually, which listed bike shops and places to eat and all kinds of helpful information, which was great.
Cool.
So I gave them that. They got the number, and all I could think of was like the tortoise and the hare race. These guys were just blowing by me every time, and I never saw them again when I got into Georgetown. They were heading to Georgetown. I never saw them again after that. And I just, you know, just slow and steady, you know, wins the race. And again, it wasn't even a race.
But I get the point.
You know,
it's really cool stuff.
You don't have to be a Superman. You just need to get out there and do it. Every little bit helps.
And it's funny because, it's not their fault that they had a flat tire and a popped spoke and all that stuff. But a lot of times I found kind of the corollary or the parallel to that in running is, and probably the same thing with biking, there's the people that are like really, really fast. And yeah, I'm jealous and I envy them. No, not really. But a lot, these are the people that get injured and burnt out. And I'm the slow guy, and I just keep going and going and going. I just don't stop, but I'm slow, and that's just the way I've been doing it. So congratulations on the 3-day 180-mile bike ride on the CNO Canal towpath. What did you do to train for 180 miles? What did you do there?
I didn't do a 180-mile ride. We have the NCRR trail is that you did the marathon on is just a great trail. So I did some rides on that. The week before I did the ride, it was a week, maybe 2 weeks before, I did a real long road ride, which was really, really hilly, which it was like a 50-some road ride. And I knew if I could do that, if I can do a 50-mile road ride, again, with the hills and everything else, I was good enough for 60. And, I wasn't in any rush to get from one day's start to the stop. I stopped when I wanted to stop.
Which was normally roughly every 10 miles, 20 miles to take a little snack break, a lunch?
Well,
what'd you do?
It depends. Again, I'm there by myself. So I had lots of time to think about things. So I would, whenever I wanted to stop, I stopped. Again, there was lots of campgrounds. So if I looked at a campground, I knew how many miles I'd gone. So I knew how many more miles I might want to go. You know, I could tell by that when I might want to stop. You know, if I got to a place and it had been 20 miles, which I would have stopped by then, but, you know, the next campground might have been 9 miles, I would say, look, I'm going to stop here because I'm not going to go another 9 miles without stopping, eating a snack.
Right, sure.
I did stop by. I had, you know, made myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or a peanut butter sandwich each morning also, and had some trail mix, had some gel packs. Yeah, Cliff bars that I took, and I really wasn't. I was just getting over a cold that was still hanging around a little bit, so I wasn't, with my.
And you still did it. You still did
and
it.
I still
oh,
did. Yeah,
oh,
I was,
okay.
Still hocking up phlegm and a little bit, and but I powered through
good,
it.
Good, good for you. Good job. What kind of stuff were you like? You're out on that trail. I was gonna say on the road, but on the trail for miles and miles, 60 miles a day. You said a lot of times you didn't see many people at all. What kind of stuff do you think about while you're riding? What's your thought process out there?
Well, the thought process is I don't even remember. Who knows what I'm thinking about? I'm probably thinking some about work. I'm thinking about what my next stop's going to be. What I'm going to eat, you know, for my snack or whatever. And
think about your life at all? Are you thinking about like how your life has been or goals or anything like that?
I don't know if I get that profound or when I'm out there or anything like that. I probably thought about some other stuff, maybe vacations to take in the upcoming year, you know, things like that. I don't want to think about work too much because I know what's coming up, you know, at the beginning of the year kind of thing. Although this was back in September.
Yeah, you got tax returns to start doing.
You know, and I know my daughter-in-law's pregnant, is going to have the baby soon. And
thinking about family stuff, kind of?
Yeah, thinking about that. And again, we had a trip coming up with our card game guys a month after that. That, you know, you're thinking about what are we going to do on the trip, that kind of thing, vacation. And that's pretty much it. You know, again, what I like to do is I like to put my iPod on and just have the music playing. I just really.
Oh, you wear earbuds while you're doing it?
Yes.
Is that okay? That's safe? No problem?
Out there, there's nothing out there to worry about. And it's loud enough. I can hear. I can hear stuff.
So you're listening to a lot of music while you're doing it.
And I got to tell you, again, just the first day out, I thought the battery was more charged up than it was. And it was very low, needing to be recharged. So I didn't put it on at the beginning. I just, again, I feel more energized when I have the music playing and I'm riding my bike. And that's how much I'm trying to keep to the pace of the music. Cause not every song's, you know, a fast beat or anything like that. But it just makes me ride better. I just feel it. Just I guess it's a mental thing.
Tell me one of your, off the top of your head, your favorite energizing, motivational songs that you want to come, you want to hear on that iPod while you're having the toughest time, like, let's say, finishing that last mile or maybe the first mile of the day to get you going. What's one of your best songs ever for that?
You know, I don't even do it like that. It depends what I'm listening to. I don't have a song that I'm going to flip to when I'm getting ready to do, you know, to go up that big hill or whatever like that.
Isn't there a song by Kate Bush from like the 80s? I'm running up that hill. Oh, that's running. Yeah. Running up that hill.
Yeah, but I don't even have it on my iPod. But I do like the song, though. But no, I don't really have. And it depends what I was listening to. You know, I might have thrown a certain CD on or something at the time that I listened to. But nothing that, you know, that's my favorite thing to listen to.
Yeah, just anything. Whatever.
If a song comes on that kind of thing.
But you've always been into really good music. As a matter of fact, I'm having flashbacks now. We're sitting in a mic. I don't know. You remember this.
I do remember this.
So I got to tell my listeners this. I just thought about this now. But Larry and I, not only do we go way back, we've been friends for, since college or before. But back in those days, we had a lot of similar tastes in music, and there was a local radio station that and correct me if I don't get this exactly right, but they had some kind of a almost like a contest where you could apply to be like DJs, and you come up with a mix of songs, and I don't think we went. Did we go to the station and do it?
Yeah,
we were actually at the station. We're at the station, and we actually for like an hour or so played our mix of like, and we made some announcements and said this song is this, and we had like our own show on this radio station for 1 hour.
Correct.
That was the coolest thing ever.
And I did for clean up the basement. I did find the tape of that show. Actually, I had the cassette.
Could you get that digitized somehow? I want to hear that.
I probably could get it digitized. I got to find it again. At this point, I don't even know exactly where it is.
Do you remember one song you played? One song. I remember one song I played.
We played an Elvis Costello song.
Did we?
I remember that one? And it had to be from like his first album way back because it was like early 80s.
It was early 80s.
Yeah,
it was early 80s.
No.
Or was it? It was late 70s.
It was late 70s.
I played a song by Queen. Was that called 39 or 29? 39. Oh, right?
And I know another song. Yeah, you might have. And I played a song by Genesis.
Yep, I remember that too.
I think it was Squonk.
That sounds right.
Trick of the Tail.
I think that sounds right. So we've shared the mic on a radio show. 30 years ago. Now we're back sharing the mic.
It's over 30 years ago.
Sharing the mic. It was closer to 35 years. Now we're sharing the mic on my podcast, Slice Your Age in Half, because we're both lifestyle guys. We're both the same age. We both have lived pretty darn good lives and staying in the best shape we can. And I want to keep doing this lifestyle stuff. I want to keep running marathons until I'm 100. How long are you going to be riding your bike?
I hope I live to 100. I hope I'm still riding. I got to tell you, you mentioned that. Again, when I'm out riding my bike, if I'm on the trail, more so than I'm on the road, that I see older people, you know, riding their bikes, and I just want to applaud them, you know, to say, this is great. This is wonderful that you're doing this. I hope I'm able to do that when I'm your age. I just, you know, hopefully, I'm knock on wood. I'm healthy enough to be doing it then.
We've got listeners, and I hope they like your story. But more importantly, they're trying to figure out, okay, it's holiday time, close to holiday time. We're coming up on the new year. I keep telling my listeners, try not to make a resolution, but start now. In other words, don't say, I'm going to start this in 2 months. You know, in other words, I say, if you want to lose weight, start today, right this second. But could you give any tips to our listeners? Like somebody wants to start an exercise program. They want to lose weight. They know they need to get out on the bike or go running. Like, I just want to hear some tips from you. What can they do to get started? What do you say?
Well, one thing is, like you said, you need to get started. Don't start out too quick. Don't try to, you know, start out by running a marathon or riding, you know, a 50-mile bike ride or walking or doing a hike that's, 10 miles long up and down hills and rocks and everything else. Start small. Again, I think if you're older, you may want to check with your physician. Make sure you're not getting into something that's going to, you know, cause a problem, but just get out there and you'll be surprised, how much you just do it. You may want to even, you know, keep a log maybe. And, you know, I walked or I ran a mile today. And if you want to keep the time, fine. If you don't want to keep the time, don't even worry about it. You know, in a couple, you keep running a mile, and then in a couple weeks, you know, maybe you'll run a mile and a quarter. and just build yourself up slowly, I think, and just eventually you'll get to a state where you want to, you can do more, and you'll, before you know it, you maybe want to run that marathon, or maybe a half marathon, or a 10K, or whatever, or, ride a...
maybe go on a
10-mile bike.
Or a three-day bike ride with Lou. Are you available to take anybody on a three-day bike ride on the Sienna Canal Towpath if they want to go with you?
Again. And then the next thing is I got to do the other segment of it that goes from Pittsburgh to Cumberland, but that'll be...
How many miles is that?
That's only 120 miles, which supposedly gets a little hilly.
And 120. So if you combine the whole thing, we're looking at 300 miles. That's a serious ride.
Yeah, I don't know if
that's
I can
a
do
real
it
serious
yet.
Ride.
That's a serious ride.
I sold my bikes last year, maybe, because I just wasn't riding. I've been doing mostly, backpacking, running, skiing, and they were just sitting in my shed. But I sold them. But I'll tell you, if we ever want to revisit the doing something on the CNO Canal for a multi-day trip, I might want to revisit that with you. Maybe we'll get out and do it. You never know.
I'm ready to do it. I got a great place to stay in Hancock. That's all I can say. And it's. I'd love to do it again. Our rides we took in the old days were great. I remember all of them, and I remember the ones that we had problems with more than the ones we didn't, and all the great stories we had and times.
Well, it's a lot of the fun. You meet interesting people along the way. We could I'll tell you, we're kind of out of time. We got to close this pretty soon because I try to keep these programs to 40 minutes plus. Even a little bit less, but the information and having you on has been so great. That's why I didn't mind going over a little bit. But since you're so close, I hope it's okay with you. I'm going to invite you back for more because we have a lot to talk about. I'd like to actually get you back one day and talk about some of the backpacking we've done. I know we both had some tough times with backpacking trips, and we've learned from those trips. But I just think it's important to stress that we've gone through we've had trouble biking, we've had trouble backpacking, I've had trouble in marathons when I've had to stop, and it's it's okay because like you said before, when you had your surgery, 3 months out of your life you had to stop, but now your back's bigger and better than ever, so if you have to stop something, it's not the end of the world. You learn from you learn from your mistakes, so. I'm going to get you back. We're going to talk. I think we got a lot to talk about, a lot to teach, and it's fun stuff. But I want to thank you for being here. It's been really cool having you in the studio. But Larry, I hope you have great holidays. And I know getting into January pretty soon, and I probably won't even hear from you during tax season. But just if you ever want to do lunch together, I'll be around to do lunch if you want to. But I know during tax season, it's impossible to get in touch with you. So maybe I'll actually try to have you on a little bit before tax season starts. So maybe we'll get another episode under our belts. Who knows? It was great having you here. I hope your tax season goes really well.
Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun.
Get your exercise in even during tax season. Keep reading that motivational post. I know you do it every year.
Yeah.
So anyways, thanks, Larry. Now, I think that's it for today. Thanks, listeners, for sticking with us. I know we went a little bit longer than normal, but I think this will officially put episode number 11 of Slice Your Age in Half in the record books, in the history books, whatever you want to call it. But it was great having every single one of you here. We'll talk to you soon back on episode 12. See you later.